You're listening to your MBA podcast with Larry O'Brien. Dear listeners, as a co-host of this podcast, I want to encourage you to reach out when you're in need of help. For example, my co-host Kane here woke me up this morning and he reached out at your MBA podcast. He was in pain. Talk to me, Kane. Talk to me. Point to me where you're hurting. I'm here for you now.
Just the totality of sport failure, right?
Are you pointing to your groin? Where are you pointing? Show me your hands.
Yeah.
Can't see your hands.
Touching myself, God. Let me have my little pleasures.
Oh, God. Please, no. not during the show. Wait till after the show, please.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, happy Lunar New Year. That's why we didn't record last week, because I messaged you and you said your your partner's mom came to visit.
Yes, last week was of course the Chinese New Year, a time when people spend time with their family, and that's why I was unable to record the podcast. Of course, you chose to spend time not with your family and had therefore lots of time to record.
What?
You're like, what, are we recording today?
I did realize that, yeah, it's like a huge public holiday, like multiple days.
A week. It's the biggest holiday
here. A week. Yeah.
Of course, I don't actually celebrate Chinese New Year, to be honest, just because...
I think they call it Lunar New Year.
I don't know what they call it.
Well, it's not just China that celebrates it. Like other countries like South Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong also celebrate
Chinese New Year's as well.
They also celebrate Lunar New Year.
For the Chinese
it's
Masters. See, it's that type of revisionist history, okay? They're called Aboriginals! Remember that, Kane! Say their names!
Anyway.
Say their names!
So what'd you do? What'd you get up to?
Well, talk about Invasion Day that just passed, okay? I did nothing. I stayed at home.
But you had family. You had family come over and visit. No?
She was here for a couple of days. She made some, cooked for us, and then they watched some Chinese TV. I have no idea. I was in the other room.
So you could have recorded, is what you're saying.
Oh, probably. Okay, so for a bit of context.
You made it sound like you're really busy.
I was with my family. See, my family come to me during the New Year, unlike your family, who packs their bags and splits town. I'm talking about Tampa Bay. We'll talk about him, your family.
I wish that was my family.
So for a bit of context, Chinese New Year, it's following the lunar calendar. So it means it changes every year, and therefore I don't actually know when it actually happens every year.
It's usually like around February, though.
It's usually February, but sometimes I feel like it gets close to March before it happens.
Yeah, sometimes it's late Feb, yeah.
And because the Chinese colony of Australia don't celebrate Chinese New Year's right now, and I've been in Australia and in Canada for so long, I've never celebrated this thing. I haven't celebrated this thing in, like, I don't know, 30 years.
How about last year?
I didn't celebrate last year, I don't think. Or at least I can't remember.
I guess lockdown, I guess.
How about you, Ken? Oh, well, tell me about what you do for Chinese New
Year.
Well,
you mentioned Invasion Day. I actually did. I got stuck. I was driving to my parents' place for that public holiday. And on my way there, we got stopped by the police.
Uh-oh.
Like hundreds of police, basically, because we're trying to cross this major road, this major arterial road in Sydney. And when we got stopped, a huge rally walked past us. So we were there for like maybe 10 minutes just waiting for this protest for Australia Day to pass by. But I mean, I think just because I was forcibly stopped there and I had to witness what was happening, I think I was a part of that protest then, officially. I think I was officially part of it, even though I was in my car and had aircon and was comfortable sitting.
You gotta hit the streets, okay? That's what it takes.
Well, it's always best to be part of it, but if you can do it safely in my bubble of a car, then I think that's you know, that's true. Always going to be better because we still have to be cognizant of COVID.
That's true. Now, you're talking about Australia Day. Australia is a national holiday, but as some people call it, it's called Invasion Day, because technically that day was not the actual founding of the country in any way. It was simply to mark the arrival of white man Captain Cook.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last year. We talk about this every year. But basically, our finding of like the declaration, when Australia signed the declaration, was January 1st. You can't have two public holidays. You can't have 2 days on January 1st, because that's already a public holiday, obviously, it's New Year's Day. So then they made January 26th, which is the day the first fleet arrived, obviously marked with also a lot of bad stuff that happened to the native people of Australia. So yeah, I mean, the main thing that, you know, people are trying to say is just move the date. Like, we can still have a day of celebration for Australia, but just don't make it Australia 26, which is marked by invasion, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, why not? Like, there's no, and there was, they say like, oh, it's tradition, but this tradition only started, I don't know, like less than 2 decades ago.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's not like old tradition.
Oh, God. Ancients.
Yeah, it's not like an ancient tradition that, yeah, I mean, Australia itself is an ancient country. It's only 200 years of colonization.
I know, but you said this holiday just started 2 decades ago. That's 2 decades ago?
It's not that old of a public holiday. Less than 2 decades. I think it was like less than 2 decades.
When did it start? Like,
I think in the 90s. Maybe in the 90s or something.
Oh my God, what a joke.
So it's not an old thing by any means, but it's just something the government especially has been very resistant to change. People say like we should make it May 8, because it sounds like mate.
Oh boy, okay. I rest my case.
I mean, it doesn't matter. As long as it's, you know, as long as they don't remove public holiday.
When is this Chinese colony going to come back to the motherland, eh? We celebrate a real holiday,
I mean,
Chinese New Year. How about that?
I mean, I hope Chinese people don't come in droves back to Australia.
Wow.
Keep the housing property prices at a low.
There you go. Typical retort, right? Just blaming housing, jobs, all on the immigrants. Obviously, all the migrants just come and like take all the housings, right?
I don't believe that to be.
Obviously, if you're white, no problems. They create jobs and housing for whatever reason. It's the colors. They take the houses and jobs.
They only take houses. I mean, it's very true, because like during the coronavirus, during the pandemic, housing prices soared to new records high, and then it was like, okay, well, Chinese people aren't here, international investors aren't here anymore, so. Yeah, Australians can do quite fine raising house prices by themselves.
Oh, anyway.
Anyway, shit. This is the NBA. This is the NBA podcast.
Of course, trade deadline is coming up, and we definitely want to preview some of the changes already happening. But, Kang, our show has always been more than basketball. It's about life. And I know it's been a couple of trying weeks for you. Tell our listeners what you've been thinking these couple of weeks. I'm talking about your Buccaneers.
Oh, I'm trying to forget that.
Express it to us, please.
You just want to extract my pain.
Please.
Trying to making me relive my painful memories.
I need more. Delicious.
Yeah, so did you watch the game, by the way? The Rams and the Bucks.
I did watch the game. I thought the Bucks were going to win.
Yeah, I thought so too. It was a truly insane game. It was a fun game, and it just made me think in that moment that I'm so glad that this team's competitive. I was upset, obviously, they lost, but you can't knock the fact that they made such a big comeback. They were down 27-3, I think, until they tied the game in the final 2 minutes of the game. They were able to tie the game. It's just, you know, just Brady-esque. That's just what Brady does. So, you know, we're there 27-27, and then the Rams, like, do basically a Hail Mary. The Bucks like, go on this blitz and, like, just expose the best player. that's like streaking down the field and they catch it and they hit the field goal to win the game. So I was like obviously upset in that moment, like, you know, like what the fuck just happened? But I just think looking back at it in these last 2 years, it's just been such a magical experience having and rooting for such a functional, cohesive, competitive, you know, they do the right things, they say the right things. Obviously they had an Antonio Brown drama, but that wasn't like a huge dent in our season. You know, obviously a level-headed Antonio Brown would would be a productive player for our offense, but it wasn't like the death knell to our team. It wasn't the reason we lost. There's so many other reasons we lost. And I just thought this team is so fun to root for that it's going to be so sad now that Brady has officially retired. And there's a huge question mark now at the most important position in football that, yeah, it's just going to be sad thinking about what this team is going to look like going forward. It's just been so much fun rooting for such a well-rounded organizational structured team. It's been very, very like absent from my life, having such a non-dysfunctional team.
Did you know ahead of time that it might happen after this year?
I mean, clearly he can still play. He's playing MVP level football. He's still MVP level quarterback. So if he wanted to return, obviously he's more than capable to return and help this team be a championship contender. So I was, you know, I heard the reports, I heard the rumors, and you just hope that he does like a 180, basically, that he hears the stuff and uses his fuel to ignite his competitiveness again for one more season. But it is what it is. He's gonna spend more time with his family, with his non-football related business ventures, and yeah, I mean, all the power to him. I think it's also I think it's also really cool. Like, I really want to buy like a TB12 T-shirt, because I think the cool thing is that he is exiting. He's retiring at the game at the top of his game. Mm. That's very rare for you to do, to be able to leave on your own terms, to leave as an MVP of the league, to retire like that. Usually, you retire, you know, like battered, injured, broken. It's such a rare feat to play over 20 years in the NFL, such a physical sport, and to retire as a champion and retire as like one of the top players in the game. So I think that sets him up really well in his future, and he can do obviously whatever he wants, and he's going to be super successful. And what does it matter? He's already super successful with everything, having a supermodel wife and like beautiful family and just all his endorsements. So yeah, I mean, it's good while it lasted, I guess.
Did it catch you by surprise?
There was days and days of reports saying that he's going to retire. So it did soften the blow. It wasn't like all out of the blue suddenly Tom Brady says, I'm retiring. There were reports that happened for weeks or at least a week nonstop. So I was kind of prepared for it and I was hoping it didn't happen, but yeah. I guess it came true. It came, yeah.
I mean, I was a little bit surprised. I thought not for sure, but I thought there would have been a good chance that he retires in San Francisco. Obviously, San Francisco has a much better team, and it would have been one more opportunity to take Jimmy.
What do you mean they have a much better team?
Okay. A top team. It's still a top team. San Francisco is one of the top teams. Fine. It's in San Francisco. It's his hometown. Plus, is one last opportunity to take away Jimmy G's job.
I mean, it's not ruled out. Like, he's retired and the Bucs own his rights, but anything can happen. Like, it's definitely not ruled out. And to be honest, if Tom Brady retires.
You're saying Jimmy G still might be in trouble?
I mean, Jimmy G's already talked to his, to the 49ers, trying to work out a trade. He's already requested to be out.
Look, I know, Kane, that you've been hurting because of this double whammy, the Bucs losing, the Buccaneers, that is, and Brady retiring.
And the Milwaukee Bucs.
And the Milwaukee Bucs. They're doing okay, I think.
Signing Greg Monroe. My guy.
Yeah, max players for the Knicks. Actually, turned down that max offer by the Knicks. A couple of years ago, I asked you after they won, I think I asked you after they won the Super Bowl, the Buccaneers, if this was it, whether you should also retire up high like Tom Brady and basically become a casual fan. So I want to ask you this question again. Now that Tom Brady is retiring, which means that this team is going to blow up, are you going to stick to being a Buccaneers fan?
No, I don't think this team will blow up because this team still has avenues to explore. They could trade for the immunized Aaron Rodgers. They could trade for Russell Wilson. They could trade for sexual assaulter Deshaun Watson. There's a lot of possibilities this team still has, so they're not out of it. This team still has a lot of talent. And to your question, would I retire? I think looking back at it, you know, it would have been smart if I could at that time, but I think since I've continued to go on and watch every NFL game, I think I can't. I think it's too hard for me to leave. And I know there'll be some lean years going forward, but I think, because I think the beauty of the NFL is it's finite. It's what's the word? Like the amount of supply.
Look, you reached out to me for advice, and I think our listeners can really benefit from this advice, which is, if this happens to you, listeners, please don't do what Kane is doing. You need to cut bait right now. You need to just, you know, go out high. You know, it's been a beautiful 2 years with Tom Brady, but it's all over now, okay? The ship is sinking. There's no future. There's no possibilities. This is a joke franchise. No disrespect. Obviously, championship. Okay, they won a championship. And they went close to going to the Super Bowl a second time. They should have won against the Rams, against all odds. So it's a beautiful journey. But without Tom Brady, this is a garbage team. The only players that would have went there was because of Tom Brady. You're losing. You're in a bad cap situation. Bruce Arians he's overweight.
I thought you were supposed to cheer me up.
Bruce Arians.
I thought you were supposed
to cheer me up. You shut up. You shut up. Be quiet. Bruce Arians, he's a fat, old, Achilles-less man who beats on his children and players. Okay, I'm not sure about the children, okay? That's a rumor. That's a rumor. I don't want Spotify to come at us.
All right, that's it.
Okay. Look, I'm serious, that's Kane. It. I'm serious, Kane. The Buccaneers are not, you're not talking about the New York Giants, who's a joke franchise, but at least they're in New York. At least they're the Giants. The Buccaneers they have made no impact in the last 20 years. And I suspect they're going to go back to making no impact. You know, you have to be honest with yourself. The only reason you picked this team was because you like the logo, you like Pirates. But now you're a grown-ass man, okay? There's no reason why you need to cheer for the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay.
What's
is
your
not
reason
a,
that I support Tampa the Nets? Bay? I like Weaves. You said that I was a child when I started to support the Buccaneers because the logo was like swords in a skull.
Yeah.
And the pirates. That's why, as a child, I supported the Buccaneers.
I hope you're a child.
Well,
then.
How about the Nets? How about the New Jersey Nets?
I can see that New Jersey Nets. They were a top team at the time, and also New Jersey, close to New York. And they were getting, you know, it's totally different. You can't compare the two. I don't think. I mean, the Nets, I don't think are top echelon team or franchise, but everyone knows about the Nets. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you said the Buccaneers, I wasn't sure.
Okay,
I didn't know which city they were from.
Shut up, Sigmund. All right. That's it. Listen, I think there is something to psychoanalyze with these recent trauma that I've experienced sport-wise. And it is that I do enjoy rooting for the underdog. There is something to the underdog that I like. And that's probably something in my entire life, at least with these like these professional sport teams that I quite enjoyed growing up. Rooting for the Nets, rooting for the Bucks. So I'll get into it more later because I think I think with everything happening around with the Nets, it has kind of reignited why something with this Nets team is off. And it's because, you know, they're meant to be juggernauts, but they're not really. And in contrast, I had so much fun watching the D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, Jarrett Allen, Nets upstart team with Kenny Atkinson. I mean, Jarrett Allen should be an all-star. Caris LeVert just scored 40 points all the night.
Oh, I like it.
Spencer Dinwiddie, he's MIA, obviously. I don't know where he is at the moment.
Okay. Bitcoin's down.
Jarrett Allen. D'Angelo Russell is playing well with the Timberwolves as part of a good team, good core team with the Timberwolves. Those are fun times. That's all I got to say. And probably my favorite Nets team of all time.
Let's get back to the NBA, okay? Harden is unhappy. You wrote in our show notes, where does the blame go? Personally, I blame you. I blame Kane. What do you think?
Why do you blame me? What did I do?
For, like, believing in this team. This is a garbage team headed by Kyrie. Actually, I want to preface it. I believe in this team as well. I like the roster. But when you put your money on Kyrie, you knew what was going to happen. You knew! Fool me once, shame on you. Okay, you know the saying. Okay, you know the saying. Check the tape. Check the tape. Where's George Bush? Check the tape.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Look, something's funky with this team, and I don't think it's just Harden unhappy with this team, or KD's injury, or Kyrie being unvaccinated and being a part-time player. It's there's a lot of bad. What's the word, like mojo with this team? Joe Harris had an ankle surgery like at the beginning of the season when he basically tore his ankle. And now the team is saying that he needs a second ankle injury, second ankle surgery to fix it for good. And then I'm thinking like, well, isn't the first surgery meant to fix it for good? Isn't that why he's been out for so long? One of the top ankle surgeons, I assumed, botched the surgery. It's not where it's supposed to be. And Joe Harris is meant to be one of the most important players, at least shooting wise, for this team. And this team is shooting is slumped so badly. You can look at what James Harden is shooting at 33%. It's one of the most worst career marks for him as a player in the NBA. Kyrie Irving is shooting extremely badly in the last few days on the road trip. And Kevin Durant still isn't back with the team. And Steve Nash is, in my opinion, he should be fired because he does not know how to coach this team. I can point to some examples, but I think it was against the Sixers, or I forget it was against who it was. But he should have called a challenge to this call, and even the announcer saying, like, oh, Steve Nash should challenge this. He should challenge this. And then he did. He let it play on. And it turned out in the last 2-minute report that if he did challenge it, he would have been right. It was like an offensive foul or something. I think, like, the way I sort of think about Steve Nash is that the way he was coached when he was a star player for the Phoenix Suns is that Mike D'Antoni had so much trust in Steve Nash to run the team, basically, on the court. And if they were in a kind of a slump on the court, Mike D'Antoni didn't like to call timeouts because he trusted Steve Nash and Marion and Stoudemire to be able to correct it on court in play and to make those adjustments, obviously led by Steve Nash. Steve Nash, I think, has similar respect and trust that Harden is able to do that kind of stuff. But Harden is not his former self. And Harden apparently is unhappy, not just with Kyrie being a part-time player, but he's also unhappy that Steve Nash is constantly tinkering with the rotations, that he's not being utilized correctly. I don't even know what Harden is best utilized, because last season when all three were teaming up, Kyrie told Harden, you're the point guard. Okay, so Harden's the point guard, but he's not making good passes. He's not making the offense go. He's not making the right passes. I think part of it too is roster construction. This team used to have so many great shooters. They had obviously Joe Harris, who's injured, but they had Landry Shamet, they had Tyler Johnson, they had Jeff Green. They had shooters that just could surround James Harden, and that's the way James Harden liked to play. This year, they have James Johnson and DeAndre Bembry and Bruce Brown and rookies and Nick Claxton, when Kyrie's not playing, Kevin Durant's injured, and Joe Harris is injured. And Harden can't play like that. He's not that type of efficient player anymore, unfortunately. I don't know why. Maybe it's age. Maybe it's finally caught up to him. Maybe the toll of being an elite NBA player for over 10 years has finally caught up to him. But something's up, and on top of that, he just doesn't have the team, the talent around him to maximize his gifts. I don't blame Harden exactly. Like, I know a lot of Nets fans are unhappy with the way Harden's enthusiasm has waned, and he's said now that he's publicly unhappy with this organization. But I don't really blame him for that. I don't think it's entirely his fault. It's not his fault Kyrie doesn't want to get vaccinated. It's not his fault Kevin Durant, his knee. I'm just saying, like, if Kevin Durant was here and Joe Harris is getting back because he had a successful ankle surgery and Kyrie Irving got vaxxed, this is a much different story. This is a much different team. They wouldn't be going through seven losing game streaks, That's not going to happen with that type of talent. But if all three of those starters are gone and Blake Griffin is a show of himself, you can't expect too much for Harden to do to help this team.
True, technically true, but I think you're giving...
I don't like Harden. I get upset with Harden, I have to think about this objectively.
You just gave all these excuses for him. I mean, of course, if we have 100% KD, 100% Kyrie, 100% Harden...
Exactly.
...then everything's good. But that's not reality. And there are reasons why we don't have 100% Harden. You have Harden, who's not in shape. You have Kyrie, who's missing... Well, he missed all the games for half the season, and now that he's back,
at least,
he's missing 50% of the games. And you don't think that's creating drama in the team? That's creating difficulties and challenges for the team? And therefore, you had to play KD.
Yeah, it is.
You had to play KD 40 minutes, and now he's injured. Thank God he's injured, because at least now you can rest him, and he's safe. You save him from potentially a season-ending injury. If you look at it that way, they're all to blame. And Steve Nash, I like Steve Nash. I like him as...
Steve Nash, to me, deserves the most blame. That's what I
say. So you're putting most of this on Steve Nash.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't blame that Harden's unhappy. He has lots of reasons to be unhappy. I don't think we need to say, trade Harden because he's playing so badly. Because look what he's dealing with. How can he... What can you expect? What player, except unless you're Steph Curry, can turn a team with this type of talent around? They have no shooters. Patty Mills is the only shooter, and Patty Mills is 5'11" or 6 foot. That's a bit unfair to ask for Patty Mills to take over games.
I don't think it's fair. It's unfair to ask them to win against Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, well, they had Kyrie as well in that game.
Okay, I don't think it's unfair for them to win against a Dame-less, CJ McCollum-less Blazers team, who's literally trying to blow up now.
I mean, also they got shredded by the Jazz the other night. Even though Donovan Mitchell came back for his first game in months, and
is Gobert back?
And Gobert is out, and Joe Ingles is now out for the season with the torn ACL. So their team is decimated as well. And they absolutely demolished
them. So after that game, head coach Steve Nash said, "It was a tough game. I felt for the guys. I was really proud of them for keeping up their spirit the whole game." He's talking about the Nets or the Jazz? Who's he talking about?
He's interviewing for open assistant coach jobs.
We're going through a tough stretch. We're undermanned, and we're asking guys to do more. Like I said, is he talking about the Jazz here?
I think he knows that if they don't win a championship this season, he's out. That's basically it. If they don't improve and at least make the conference finals, I think Steve Nash is out.
He goes on, so you could get into all sorts of details of what went wrong, but the reality is they're a very good team, played very good basketball, made shots, and our guys stayed together and fought through it. I'm so proud of them for that. They fucking lost by 25 points. Which game is he watching?
I think Steve Nash is probably best suited to coach young guys. I don't know if he's capable of coaching star players. It's just whatever. I mean, there was a Jazz fan that posted on Reddit, just in the post about Kyrie Irving having a bad shooting night. And he said the Kyrie Irving's body language looks bad. Like he's dejected. He doesn't have enthusiasm. When he first came back, when he first played with Harden, they were like hugging and they were so happy that they were back on the court together. Obviously, there was no Kevin Durant, but you know, it's like it was great. Silver lining, we got Kyrie back at least part time. Now it's a total 180. Kyrie was saying initially, "Oh, I'm in my prime now," like, and he looked great. Admittedly, he looked amazing for someone that I guess hasn't played professional 5-on-5 basketball for months. And the same as Harden, like, you know, and playing with Harden, Harden looked rejuvenated too. He was hitting step backs as well. Since then, now there's reports that Harden's unhappy with Kyrie and he's unhappy with the way the team is built around Kyrie and, you know, it's not suited to his gifts. And especially if they're playing at home, I'm sick of all these lines, these betting lines, giving them a -3, -4 against like shit teams. Just please bet on the other team because the Nets are going to either win like by a little bit or lose by a lot against any team. They even got blasted by your Lakers in Brooklyn. That was the last time the Lakers looked any good.
Championship DNA. Well, thank God you've got a little mountain here, Kyrie Irving, who says, building championship habits take time, and time is not necessarily always on our side. I don't know what game this is for me, so I'm just okay. I wonder why he doesn't know what game this is. He's like, am I playing today? When's the Y open? Someone check the schedule for me.
I'm glad we got Kyrie, honestly. I like his attitude. I like that he's not being...
The reason I'm reading this to you is... No, that's the wrong message. Wrong message! I'm reading this to you because I don't like this. This is exactly the message I want to show you. Because it shows you that, yeah, Kyrie's not worried. You know why? Because he fucking played 5 games. Half the season's gone and he's played like 5 games. And that's why he's not worried. If I was the other guys and you're giving me this I'm not worried attitude, I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? I've been playing 55 games and we fucking suck. I'm worried. I'm worried, Kyrie. Help. Help. And that's a problem.
Look, I don't know who said it. There's no need to push the panic button. This team is, the core of this team is still very good. Like you said, there's no Joe Harris may come back. Who knows how the second ankle surgery goes. But Kevin Durant will be back. Like you said, he escaped a major injury. If Kevin Durant's back, a part-time Kyrie Irving, if James Harden doesn't gain any more weight, it's not like the worst team. They can still win a championship. That's what I believe. Honestly, that's what I believe. They can still win a championship. I'll just transition to this. I think this is all to say that though I don't blame Harden specifically, he obviously deserves some blame because he hasn't been playing well, I would very much welcome a Ben Simmons trade. And I think if I was the Sixers, I'd be very motivated to get James Harden. Because, are we ready to transition to this? Because A, it's basically trading a non-asset for an asset. And even if this asset is a, slightly over the hill all-star, it's still better than what they currently have, which is zero production.
Okay, I like this. I like this, Kay. Okay, let's talk about some of the trades. Are you saying that KD potentially behind the scenes is now leaning towards okaying movement?
Yeah, I'm thinking that Ben Simmons is such a unique player that Kevin Durant is intrigued to trade a 31-year-old, possibly washed-up all-star, still very productive, very high productive player in James Harden. Obviously, he knows that. But could you flip James Harden, who's possibly downhill, for a asset like Ben Simmons, who doesn't like to play for Philadelphia, doesn't like to play with Joel Embiid, and would be super motivated to play with Kevin Durant, one of the best players of his entire generation, and Kyrie Irving, who is, special. So it seems like a win-win to me if they do trade like straight up. I've heard that the Sixers do need to throw in some sweeteners to get Harden. Like they might have to throw in Tyrese Maxey, which would be a big get. I don't think they'll trade Tyrese Maxey.
That's a good get.
I don't think they will. I would love to get Tyrese Maxey. I would probably just trade Tyrese Maxey for Harden at this point. But But maybe not. Because if you think about it from the Sixers' perspective, what is Ben Simmons to them at the moment? He's just dead weight. He's taking up cap space. He is laughing in the face of this organization. They're making them look foolish.
It's called mental issues. It's called mental wellness, mental illness. Don't call them dead weight. That's not the right term. You don't. Dead weight is not what we call them anymore.
I'm in dead weight. I mean dead weight from a basketball production point of view.
Okay. Just we need to clarify, okay? New strict guidelines from Spotify. Make sure we follow them all.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I mean, if you could trade a zero for a James Harden-like hero, then it seems like a win-win. And if Kevin Durant is happy to get Ben Simmons, a point guard, a prototypical point guard and elite defensive player, I think it would be... And you know how much I like Ben Simmons. You know where my heart is at with Ben Simmons. I think he can't do much wrong. Obviously, he's taking a hit with not taking that layup last year in the playoffs. I think, obviously, that wasn't great. but he's a unique, very unique player. There's no player that plays like Ben Simmons, to be honest.
I like this trade a lot, Kane. Ben Simmons, to be honest, as your second guy that needs to score, he's a disaster. But on a team, when you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie, Little Mountain, Irving, it'll be no problem. No problemo. You've got Ben Simmons initiating the fast breaks, being point guard. Championship. That might be championship. From what I've read a couple of weeks ago, the Nets are just not keen to help Daryl Morey build this team. And because right now, like you said, they don't have an asset. Ben Simmons is not really an asset because he refuses to play for them. So in theory, you know, and people have said he's for over a year, he's a depreciating asset. James Harden is still obviously top asset. So if the Nets don't move James Harden at the trade deadline, does that mean they lose his rights in the summer, over the summertime?
Yeah, if he declines his player option, yeah, he'd become a free agent. So Harden would be free to sign with any team. So yes, there are, it's not like that, it's not exactly that the Sixers have to move him this deadline. They don't have to give up Tyrese Maxey or Seth Curry or even Ben Simmons for Harden if they think that Harden will go into the offseason and decline his player option and become a free agent. The Sixers think that they can get him because of his ties, close ties with Daryl Morey, although I don't know why the ties would still be close considering Daryl Morey is so anti-China and Harden so pro-China. But at the same time, if they can get him at this trade deadline and give away Ben Simmons, who hasn't shown any willingness to return to this team and has shown that he's severed all ties with Joel Embiid, it does seem like it's possible. But like you said, how willing? It's not so much the assets. I think the assets weigh up to make sense. But how willing is Daryl Morey and vice versa, Sean Marks, willing to help each other and pursue a championship? Do they believe that James Harden can return to his former glory? Do they think Simmons can return to the court and help Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? This all changes if Kyrie Irving gets vaccinated. That's the larger point here. If Kyrie Irving gets vaccinated and he plays full-time, a lot of that unhappiness with Harden and especially if Kevin Durant comes back is going to be wiped away. We just have not seen this big three play together at all. That's the bottom line. And until Kyrie Irving gets vaccinated, that's going to be a reality. That's just going to continue to be a reality. So there will, obviously that's a very simple solution, but as long as Kyrie is not willing to do that, things are going to happen where the Nets have to get creative and bring other players to fit multiple positions.
Well, Kyrie is definitely not getting vaccinated. But maybe if you're to the Nets, you can't make this move. Because like you said, the big three really just haven't spent enough time together. And I'm not sure you can just bail on that experiment if you have access to those three players. Even though, obviously, the results haven't been good. But you just haven't had them together at the same time lineup. Like, you have to give yourself the chance to see that play out, right?
Yeah, and that reason is why the Sixers might try to swing a trade, because right now it's an all-time low for Harden being unhappy with the org. But let's say the trade deadline passes, Kyrie decides to get... I'm just saying. Okay, let's just throw out Kyrie getting vaccinated. Let's just say that's never going to happen. But Kyrie is playing road games with alongside Kevin Durant and James Harden, and James Harden sees a future where the three of them can play and you know, post-pandemic, maybe next year. It's something that Harden could sign up for at least for another year. And that's another year the Sixers won't have James Harden, if that's the play that they set the sights on in terms of taking them over the top. So that might be a big reason why the Sixers say, okay, look, we're going to buy James Harden low. We're going to give you Ben Simmons, a depreciating asset for our eyes. And let's roll. Let's gamble. Let's see what happens.
Okay, I think you got me very excited. I need to actually look into this after the show.
But it could be non-story in a few days after the trade. Like, this is it. It's this Thursday. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, then it's off-season story.
Look, like you said, it's more likely that nothing happens. But guess what? This is not a scenario that I envisioned at the beginning of the season at all. That there's any possibility that the Nets somehow move on from Harden that they just like stole from the Rockets a year earlier. The fact that now that's a possibility, you trade a Harden, with all due respect to Harden, he's 31 years old, and guess what? He seems to be going like the opposite direction. And Ben Simmons, okay, he's stunted growth. He's maybe partially, I don't know, it's like mental issues, retardation. I don't know what's happening with there, but maybe you can have a better special ed program in Brooklyn, better education there, and restart him, right? He's 25 years old. He's 25 years old. And there's one thing you can say about Ben Simmons. He's athletic. He looks good. I definitely feel that you could inject a lot more basketball smarts and know-how into Ben Simmons, especially on a team when he's looking up to a Kevin Durant.
I think so. Because the thing that Ben Simmons has always said, at least publicly, ever since he got drafted, is that he is the main player. He is the star player for this team. He's not second fiddle to anybody. And when this team started to side towards Joel Embiid, for obvious reasons, because he's a better player, he got hurt. And he even said, I think it was through other sources, but he even said last year when he didn't hit the shot, Joel Embiid almost publicly came out and blamed Ben Simmons for losing them the series against the Hawks. Obviously, that's not true. I mean, that's just one shot. That's just one possession. It's a team sport at the end of the day. They all lost. But Ben Simmons, he said, when Joel Embiid was injured the previous year and was playing badly in the previous year, Ben Simmons never came out and publicly said it was Joel Embiid's fault. So this huge like gap between their relationship, between their respect for each other, where Ben Simmons thinks he's the alpha and Joel Embiid thinks he's the alpha, and neither of them can coexist there. I think if he does go to Brooklyn, I hope he recognizes that Kevin Durant's the best player. I hope he knows that. If that's the case, I think he'll be willing to adapt his skill set to make sure that he props Kevin Durant as the most he can.
He would know that. Because the thing with whatever you think about Joel Embiid, I mean, they were drafted around the same time. Ben Simmons is drafted number one. Joel is number three. So they're contemporaries. They don't really have the same kind of... He's always going to think he has better upside than Joel, and that Joel is not all that, even though Joel right now is like MVP candidate. But I think...
MVP level, yeah.
KD, he'll recognize KD as more of the veteran that has proven himself, is the anointed superstar. As everyone else in the league does already as well. So I think there's no problem for Ben Simmons to take the, you know, a secondary role in that scenario. Okay, we're way over time, so we actually have to save some of the other topics till next week. We've been speculating. We're going to this week do a bit more reporting. I'm going to go undercover. You're going to go tap into your sources. And next week, we're going to have a deep dive in some of these trades and review all the other rumors.
I mean, it's crazy that we didn't even get to talk about the All-Stars. All-Stars announced and there's so much big-time news.
Well, it's no news. The only news is that I'm surprised that they picked James Harden as one of the reserves.
Why?
You realize he shot like two for like... He took two shots the other day. He shot like two for, he scored 2 points. James Harden scored 2 points without KD on the team.
Yeah, that's what an all-star does. That's what an all-star does. Everything he does is what an all-star would do.
Listeners, please support our show at Your NBA Podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Give us thumbs up.
Yeah, don't forget Damian Lillard's name is floating around too while the Blazers are blowing up the ship. We already got a Blazers trade where they got rid of Powell and Covington, two promising players. Could Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum's name in the deadline, in the trade deadline? Could the names be on the report trade deadline time? Maybe a certain James Harden goes to Portland.
Find out next week. See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.